While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask what's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and this is On The Radar News Analysis. It's, of course, yet another interesting conversation that we are getting into here. Now, of course, it's Thursday, the 29th of January, 2026. Now, as Namibia moves through another pivotal week, national attention remains fixed on how today's decisions are shaping economic stability, public trust, and the lived realities of citizens across government, business, and communities. Now, questions of leadership, accountability, and long-term planning continue to influence how confidence and direction are headed into. Now, from economic resilience and infrastructure reliability to food and water security, public safety, and community well-being, those are the pressures defining the national agenda and testing the country's preparedness for the future. Now, on the reading news analysis is where we slow the news cycle down. We examine the developments within depth, context, and balance, unpacking not just what is happening, but why it matters and how it affects everyday life across Namibia. From 1300 hours to 1430 Monday through Friday, we bring you credible journalism, informed perspectives, and cleared eye analysis grounded in facts and lived experience. Now, today's program, we turn our focus to key developments shaping the day. Now, you can listen on all Eagle FM frequencies, stream us live via the Eagle FM website, or download the Eagle FM app and join in on the conversation through our WhatsApp channel. This is On The Radar News Analysis, where headlines meet context and decisions meet scrutiny. Now, let's get right into today's topic. Namibia has been ranked first in Africa in the Startup Blick Innovators Business Environment Index for 2026, emerging as the continent's top performer in the market perception pillar of the global ranking. Now, the recognition highlights Namibia's strong institutional credibility, governance quality, transparency, and international trust, positioning the country as one of Africa's most stable and reliable environments for innovation and entrepreneurship. Now, the Startup Blink Innovators Business Environment Index is a global benchmarking tool developed by Startup Blink, an international innovation research platform that tracks startup ecosystems worldwide. Now, unlike rankings that focus solely on the number of startups or investment volumes, the Startup Blink Innovators Business Environment Index is a global benchmarking tool developed by Startup Blink. The index assesses countries across three core pillars, one being the ease of operating a business incentives, and market perception. Now, the market perception pillar measures factors such as governance quality, credibility, transparency, political and economic stability, human capital, and international mobility, all of which influence investor confidence and long-term business trust. Now, in the 2026 edition, the index evaluated over 125 countries globally using more than 30 objective and quantifiable indicators drawn from internationally recognized data sources in order to assess how easily innovators can start, how easily innovators can operate, and how easily innovators can trust a country's business environment. Now, according to the Startup Blink, Namibia's ranking as first in Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa in the market perception pillar reflects the country's outstanding regional leadership in institutional trust and governance credibility. Namibia also ranked first in Southern Africa under the same pillar, reinforcing its position as a trusted and stable business destination within the sub-region. Now, beyond market perception, Namibia maintains strong regional competitiveness across multiple dimensions of the business environment and ranks in the top global quantile for both divided tax rate and capital gains tax rate parameters, further strengthening its appeal to investors and entrepreneurs. Now, the recognition validates Namibia's continued efforts to build a predictable, stable, and investor-friendly business environment, supported by targeted reforms aimed at improving the ease of doing business. Now, key initiatives include the establishment of the Investor One-Stop Center, which streamlines investment process and scale up Namibia platform designed to support entrepreneurs across the business life cycle. Now, while the ranking enhances Namibia's international standing, experts caution that translating this achievement into tangible long-term benefits for startup entrepreneurs will require stronger coordination among the public and the private stakeholders, increased investment in research and development, improved intellectual property protection and commercialization, and expanded access to finance, to skills and markets will be critical to converting institutional strength into sustained innovation-led growth. As global competition for innovation, talent and capital intensifies, Namibia's top ranking in the Startup Blink Index positions the country as a trusted gateway for innovation and enterprise development in Africa, provided that support policies continue to evolve alongside the needs of startup and innovators. Now, joining us in studio, I caught up with Sonia Mubwaelera. She is the founder and the CEO of The Great Facilitator, that has to do with businesses and entrepreneurship. Let's take a listen to that conversation between Sonia and I. But actually, because we do have a scheduled commercial break popping up anytime now, I wouldn't want to interrupt that conversation. Let's pause now here and take a trip to the marketplace and, yeah, listen to what we have there on the other side of the marketplace. And then we'll be back to get into this conversation with Sonia. Stay tuned right here. And also, should you be interested in then coming in to ask questions or your contributions, get ready to dial in on 083-288-401 as we anticipate your call. For now, let's pause here.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ripurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukana.
Spend less and get more with budget beaters at WB. Get a 2-liter Rietfontein juice for only 36.99. 5 kg nice rice for just 87.99. 4 kg Kadila chicken portions for 189.99. And 2 kg sunlight hand wash powder for only 57.99. See more month-end specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Enough for that conversation between Sonia and I. And now we chat to Sonia Mubiailera. A very good afternoon to you, Sonia, and welcome to On the Reading News Analysis.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me, Happy.
Sonia, Namibia has been ranked first in Africa in the Startup Bleak Innovators Business Environment Index. Now, of course, you being an entrepreneur yourself or a business person who engages with other business people operating in Namibia, what was your immediate reaction to Namibia ranking first in Africa in this environment index?
My first reaction was, praise God. It's been a long road. It has been a long road for Namibia, and finally they're getting the praise that they deserve. Mm. I was so, so happy when I saw that statement and the report. It's just wonderful. We've really worked so hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a collective of many people making this happen. It's not just us who are ecosystem builders. They're entrepreneurs themselves. They are the ones who put themselves on this list. You know, their hard work, their determination has brought all of us together. That's why, that's the beauty of it. It's an ecosystem. So many parties play a role. And I'm so, so happy and so proud of Namibia as a country, but also of our entrepreneurs, because it's showing that things are happening. Namibia was always in the shadows, and now 5 years later, because 5 years ago, this wasn't a thing. And now 5 years later, we are like topping the charts. What an amazing, amazing blessing.
Yeah, interesting. Now, Sonia, from your experience, does this ranking reflect the realities of doing business on the ground right here in Namibia, or does it capture only part of the picture?
I do believe that it does reflect the reality in the sense that majority of our startups in Namibia are in Windhoek. So if you were to say that the whole Namibia, there are a few startups which are in the Erongo region, perhaps some in the north, but the major hub is in the commerce region. So when we talk about Namibia, it is, of course, predominantly in the commerce region, because that's where majority of the population is. Most people over here are the ones who use the technologies more. Not to say other parts of the country don't, but the interest predominantly is here, because that's where all the programs happen, the trainings happen predominantly here. So the action is mostly this side. So yes, I can confirm that things are happening and it is reflecting a reality. If there's more work to be done, there will always be more work to be done. Even advanced or developed ecosystems like in Silicon Valley in America or in Europe, they are always constantly rebuilding and bettering themselves. So this is a perfect opportunity for Namibia to showcase that we are doing things and we are just growing bigger and better.
Mm. Now, the index ranks Namibia first in Africa under the market perception pillar, which focuses mainly on governance, credibility, and trust. Sonia, just how important are those factors when investors do decide where to place their capital?
Okay, so I understand that within Namibia, you know, the startups cover a plethora of sectors. And I know in Namibia right now, we are looking at the oil and gas, the environment, climate change. So I've seen a rise in those types of startups coming up. So it just shows that when we look at investors from outside, they look at what they are interested in. Namibia may be growing, but the person giving you the money also has their own interests. So they are not going to give money to something they don't know or understand. So Namibia is definitely positioning themselves, not only through reputation, but also as a brand image, that we have sectors that we are serious about, that we are building, and there is massive opportunity. So when we look at how people perceive us, you're looking at good value for your investment. Namibia's population has grown, but also people are changing their minds towards what startups or small businesses are. People are supporting digital platforms now. People are understanding more. They're having more access to information. And this is because of incubators like mine and other incubators that operate within Namibia. Mm. We are the ones who do the training, not only for the entrepreneurs, but also for the customers. When we are promoting our services, all of these things help towards influencing investors to come into the country and give money to our businesses. And of course, there is value in that they will make money, because the opportunity is there, the resource is there, the customers are ready. We are just ready to grow bigger and better. And of course, it makes us unique, because we are not that new anymore, but we are definitely more determined, more hardworking, more focused. You know, there's no confusion. You know, we are not like, oh, we are still trying to figure out what we are trying to focus on. We know what we are focusing on now. So investors can rest assured knowing that if they decide to invest in a company that specializes in oil and gas, there is resources and opportunities for that to grow. You know, they are just not investing in an idea. They're investing in an existing structure that's going to help both parties win in the long run.
Yeah, indeed. Now, the index looks at how easily or easier businesses can start, can operate, and can scale up. Now, in practical terms, Sonia, you having dealt with businesses themselves, where has Namibia made the most progress in easing of business operations?
I believe it is the BIPA. That is where you go register your business. I feel like they have definitely transformed and changed the way they've made people's ability to register their businesses easier. Because prior to that, when I started my incubator 3 years ago, many startup founders had unregistered businesses. Why? It's not that they didn't want to. It was many factors such as not knowing how to register, not knowing what to register the startup as. Because when you go to BIPA, you can register your company as a CP, a PTY, LTD, like so many factors. But we didn't know. Why? Because the startup sector was still growing. So now BIPA has also done their part as part of the ecosystem to streamline changes, to make things easier for the small startup founders to really build something legal where it can also create and open opportunities for them to get funding and resources. So BIPA, which is the business
business registration place.
They really do support small businesses. It's affordable, you know, and they've streamlined the way you apply. They don't ask too many questions. Everything is straightforward. The employees there are very nice, very helpful. So they've definitely been a powerhouse in that. Of course, we have NAMRA, the tax-paying place. They are also very helpful. They've made things even much easier and simpler to understand in terms of paying taxes as a small business. That's another conversation for another day. But also it's important that small businesses need to be compliant. You know, when you're getting investment from outside, all of your ducks need to be in a row. So it's not only registration with BIPA. You need to be registered with NAMRA for tax purposes. You need to be registered with Social Security to ensure that, you know, your workers are registered and you're doing things the right way. There's the Employment Equity Office as well. All these things have really also upped their game in making it easier for our citizens to run successful small businesses and hoping that they'll become bigger. So it's not really, like I said earlier, a worry for an investor to wonder, is this something that is high risk? No, it's not, because we have all of our things working properly now, because now startups are being recognized as actual businesses. That's why we're being recognized outside, because we've been working in the background inside the country. So this is why it's very, very exciting.
I hear you. Now, what are some of the biggest obstacles facing Namibian startups when trying to move from an idea stage to actually a commercial scale stage?
Okay, so you could, the number one that I would always tell you that everyone will talk about would be funding. It's the number one thing that people always talk about. For me, that is not the biggest problem, but I can understand from the perspective of a startup founder. Because when we look at funding, it's not easy for a small business to prove to someone who's got money to invest in them. Why? There's a lack of credit history or collateral. You know, big financial organizations want to see a portfolio of your work done. You know, unproven business model. How do you make your money? You know, you could have an idea, you can know how to implement, but how are you going to make money and how would that be sustainable? And also there's a lot of investor risk aversion. You know, it's a high risk to invest, you know, and imagine somebody coming from outside. Namibia is a small country, very unproblematic. So they don't really know, you know, they're like, oh, do I use money? Do I not? Population is small. You don't really know. But good thing is that Namibia is very unproblematic. No civil wars, no problems with the global north. So this is just the perfect opportunity. When we look at funding, also about cash flow instability, how do you make your money? Can you keep your money for long periods of time? Like how many times do you get money? Depending on the type of business you have, there's irregular revenue cycles. You make money from January to March, but then there's a dry season from April to September. You know, do your customers pay on time? Are you giving off credit payment systems or is it cash only? and also underestimating your operational expenses. You know, it gets very exciting in the beginning when you start making money,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden the rent is due, you know, transport is due, employees' salaries are due. All of those things are signs of instability. So you need to get that together. And in order for you to get that together is to attend incubator programs. Like at the Great Facilitator, you know, we help you with all these things. But by the time you start making money, you know how to handle it. Also, we have issues of weak product market fit.
Yeah.
You can have the best idea, but if the community or the environment is not ready to accept it, mm-hmm. it will not move.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at low customer adoption. Customers may not buy it. You know, people will be like, this is wonderful. I love this innovation. But they're not going to give you money. You know, they'll just like it from a distance. Yeah. So you want to look at what do the people truly want? What are they going to respond to? And I always encourage the entrepreneurs I support and train that you may have the best idea, but sometimes the environment you're in is not ready. So it's two things. One, you can change your environment and move to another country to build your idea. Or two, you adjust or pivot to fit your environment currently, make your money, and then bring in that big innovation that you had and see how people respond. Because the beauty about the business world is that it's ever evolving and ever changing. What people rejected 2 years ago, they are looking into it now. So things are always changing, but you also need to be able to be adaptable to it. And as well as wasted resources, in the beginning of a startup, you waste a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you are also, it's a trial and error thing. So the first few years, you waste money, resources, opportunities, time. But that is what the beauty of lifelong learning is all about. So you are always learning and building as a startup founder. And also, a lot of our founders lack business and management skills. They have the idea, they have the skill, they may even have the money, but they don't know how to handle their finance. They don't know how to market or sell their product. You know, operations and logistics, how will your product or service reach the customer? All of those things, legal compliance, like I had mentioned earlier, all of those are big factors to look into, and incubation programs that we offer at the Great Facilitator support you through all of this so that we think for you. So it's really, really important. And I'm sure other incubators offer the similar services, but we are the best. And I think the last one I would like to add is, because I'm thinking on top of my head,
yeah, sure.
It's difficulty attracting customers as well as strong competition. So when we look at attracting a customer, you need to decide. We have this term in startup training called the persona. A persona is like your ideal customer. Who is this person that I'm trying to sell to? So let's say, for example, Happy, you have a new innovation in agriculture and you're like, who is my customer? It can't be someone who eats fruits and vegetables. It has to be somebody specific. You need to narrow it down. Mm-hmm. It can't be my customers are in Windhoek, so I'll be supplying pick and pay all of my, all of my fruits and veggies.
Yeah.
No, it's not everyone in Windhoek who eats fruits and vegetables. And also, what type of fruits and vegetables are you offering? What need is there? What is the age gap? What is the gender? What is the socioeconomic background of that person? So many factors. So getting the right customer is also a difficulty a lot of founders have, and that's why they find it hard to get paying customers, because you're going to the wrong people. So you need to make sure that your brand is recognized, and also have a small marketing budget. You know, marketing is very important. Have a marketing budget to really push your product, because it helps you to see what people respond to. And also you need to establish trust within the people. Don't come in hot and then after 1 year you disappear and then you say, oh no, I moved to something else.
Mm.
Every time you move or pivot, we call it pivoting, you are losing trust. You need to establish yourself. It's okay if your business didn't work out, but you need to learn to build something and try to finish it off. And especially if you have this matter of always changing, competition will always eat you up. Because new businesses always compete against established brands with loyal customers. And a lot of times, small businesses come in with cheaper prices, but how will you maintain that to make money?
That's
you are dealing with larger firms who have more capital, and also informal or low-cost competitors. Like I had said earlier, you have an agriculture startup. How will you compete with the ladies at Stop and Shop? You know, how will you confirm to your customer, like, it's the same price as Stop and Shop, but fresher?
Mm.
But if you go to Model is more expensive, but there's guarantee it's fresh. It will last longer. Not to say Stop and Shop things don't last.
Yeah, of course.
What is your differentiator? in all the things you do. So there are so many factors to think about, and Namibian startups have truly been working little by little in all of these points that I just thought of at the back of my head.
Yeah.
And we are pushing through. So thank God that we are being recognized.
Indeed.
And hopefully another 5 years from now, we might be, you know, the Silicon Valley. South Africa is the Silicon Valley of Southern Africa, but we are coming soon.
Amen. Sonia, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you. And please tell your listeners to follow us on social media at The Great Facilitator on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And we always have our startup programs and capacity building workshops all the time.
Great. Okay.
Thank you so much, Happy.
Sure. Welcome back. And that was Sonia also just educating us. We're making it more clearer. And I must say, when you're speaking to business people, you will definitely know that, yes, I'm engaging a business person here, because their ideas and what they tell you is always very different from what you initially thought. Now, joining me in studio now telephonically is Mr. Josiah Hanoshike, founder of Basecamp Business Incubator. A very good afternoon to you, Mr. Josiah, and welcome to On the Reading is Analysis.
No, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Now let's get right into it. Namibia has been ranked first in Africa in the Startup Blink Innovators Business Environment Index for 2026. Now, you being a business person, from your vantage point, how significant is this recognition for the local business community?
I think it's quite significant, that Namibia has been ranked, by Startup Blink, for the Business Environment Index,
which
goes to show, the work Namibia has done. But this must also be taken in a greater context, because I believe the index itself, this is what we've done here, it is one subsection of that particular index, because the index also looks at a number of other areas. The other areas being also the ease of operating a business and business incentives as well, and market perception. So I think it's really the perception where Namibia really has ranked number one. We ranked then, I believe, number six overall in the total index, which is still good in Africa, that is, and 83rd in the world. But that is also to be taken in the context of 125 countries that were ranked, so
yeah.
Number 83 in the world. So that, although I think it's a very good, step for Namibia, especially given the work that has been done by various actors to try to really build the ecosystem. So the market, so we came first out of those three. In Africa, market perception, we came first, which just means that we still need to work on our ease of operating a business as well as incentives for our SMEs. But otherwise, I think there's a lot of positivity that is going on currently in the country.
Nice. I like how you say, how you do point out that we came first in the market perception, but then in other areas, we still have to work on those particular aspects. Maybe to come up to number one again, it's achievable. I mean, if we have achieved the number one in the market perception, how do you think perhaps the environment needs to be made conducive for businesses to operate or start up their companies right here in Namibia?
Yeah, I think we start there. It's really about BIPA, getting the system online, the one that is going to make it easy for business not to wait 100 days to get registered, but then, within an hour, if you have all the paperwork in place, you fill out the few things, then there you go, your business is registered like many other countries, even in Africa. I think that's really the first one. I think the second one is, some of the bureaucracy that we have in operating even a small business, those are the things that we can tackle. But I think the first one is, if BIPA gets right, I think we will probably jump many spots ahead, in Africa. And then, instead of being number six overall, you might find that we're number three in Africa. And instead of being, in the 80s, we might find ourselves in the 60s globally.
Mm-hmm. Now, what structural barriers continue to limit startup growth and competitiveness? Yes, one thing about BIPA also is that I tend to think they are very overloaded, and perhaps I feel like understaffed. They have a lot of staff, but compared to how many business people, how many people want to register their business, how many people want to this and this and that, that's one area that I think they're very much overloaded. But then what barriers would you say perhaps continue to limit startup growth and competitiveness right here?
I think outside of BIPA, and I think BIPA, once they get that system online, it will make it easier. And then I think I understand, and I think I agree with you as well. It's not like they don't want to serve us. It's just that they just, right now, especially lots of young people want to start businesses, you know, and obviously, you know, because it's a manual process, BIPA doesn't have enough staff members, it becomes a bottleneck. Outside of that, I think for me, there's always three things that makes a business work. Okay. Number one, I think which is getting addressed quite a lot is really that, you know, access for entrepreneurs to get training, you know, to run a business, but all those that must still, you know, I think be improved as well. Number two is the access to funding. But again, the government has now come with the youth fund. So I think the first two we have addressed very well. In fact, that's perhaps one of the reasons why in terms of market perception, we are ranked number one in Africa, because the government has done a lot now trying to say, fine, let's find the ways to train our entrepreneurs. Let's find ways to finance our early stage entrepreneurs. That has given our entrepreneurs a lot of hope, you know. But number three, I think, and that is where we are still struggling right now, is access to market, right? I personally have seen a lot of businesses, you know, get the first two right. They've gone through the entrepreneurship training. They know how to run a business, how to grow a business. They've now gotten some type of funding, from a program or even now, you know, from a government initiative. And then you find that you cannot sell your products. Even government is not going to, you know, through a tender process, you know, they don't have, are not set up to buy your products. You go to retailers, they're not buying your products. And obviously, if you cannot sell, you cannot make money, you cannot make a profit, the business will close down. And that's what it is. I can give you more money, but if that money, you know, won't help you to build a sustainable long-term business. And that is why you find many entrepreneurs are really surviving off grants, you know, and winning competitions rather than actually selling. So that is, I think, the last frontier in a way we must really solve to unlock, you know, the potential of entrepreneurs in Namibia.
Mm-hmm. Now, just last year in October, Namibia launched the public-private forum, and of course, one that the business people really praised for both government and private sectors to come together. And of course, just help in collaboration of also pushing businesses to do well in the country. Do you think this is something that we could see tangible results on soon enough? I mean, we're talking about the government, and we're talking about government. We're also talking about public employees who are sometimes rigging in their work. Of course, the truth of the matter is we can't compare government employees with the private sector employees. Private sector employees tend to be more efficient. But now with this a launch of the private partnership with the businesses, do you think it will help get running on in the long term, or it's something that we will see bearing fruit after a very long, long time?
Yes, I think, look, I have to commend Her Excellency for really seeing the need for this forum to, number one, take place, and then obviously the task forces that were put together. And I was, you know, lucky enough or fortunate enough to be chosen for one of them, the economic recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I think it takes time. I think, you know, first and foremost, it's about building trust between, you know, the private sector, you know, task force members, as well as the public sector, who obviously are the ones that will be entrusted in carrying out any recommendations that come from it. But for so far, I've seen a lot of, hardworking, and very brilliant and smart government, civil servants that are really have embraced this. But obviously, you know, the proof is the pudding. We'll really see what happens when it comes to implementation. Obviously, that has been a big failure in the past of similar initiatives. So we will definitely have to see. But sometimes the failure I've seen is not necessarily the high-ranking officials. Sometimes it's the day-to-day, government officials that have to carry out the tasks that are assigned to them that don't really
Absolutely.
Get to it. And that is really, the challenge in itself.
Mm. Indeed, of course. Now, the ranking highlights strong institutional foundations, but of course, we know that innovation also depends on skills and productivity. Just how well prepared is Namibia's workforce for an innovation-driven economy, whether we're talking about private, we're talking about government?
I think we're getting there. I think we're not fully there.
Okay.
It has to be, give you between 0 and 90%. I think that's where it, 40%. But it's not, we're not at zero. And I think also there's a lot of drive and a lot of intent in improving innovation in the country. Obviously there's a few bottlenecks that we need to overcome. But I believe, you know, with the intention that they, and you know, and we just need to really, in the day in day out, you know, continue to see where we can improve innovation in Namibia. I believe we with time we'll definitely be one first, maybe in Africa, be one of the more innovative countries. I think we're on our way there, and then you know, maybe within the next decade or so, you know, start inching up the world rankings to be one of the more competitive, innovative economies globally.
Okay. What advice or counsel would you say businesses need to do in order to invest in skills development and innovation internally? You know, what businesses sometimes overlook. Of course, someone can have a very beautiful idea, have a great business that's quite doing well, but then they forget that there is competition out there and they need to keep themselves on par, keep themselves afloat. And so then what do you suggest that businesses do internally that it can then help boost their company, boost their business, and of course also contribute to the economy in the long run?
Yeah, I think, you know, if a business is going to succeed, I think it all starts with leadership, right? So I think the leaders must be open-minded, you know, as well as, you know, basically willing to learn, because, you know, technology is evolving all the time. Today with AI, any business doesn't use AI today, they're falling behind, basically. You know, it makes you so much more efficient. You know, so in many business leaders have started opening up to that and putting it within the business processes as an example. So, but so yeah, that's really the first thing. If, you know, for business to be innovative, starts with leadership. They must, as you said, be open-minded, willing to learn, be curious, you know, about what is out there, and then they take. And sometimes new innovation just means something, you know, new in your organization you haven't done before to improve your efficiency, even though it's already existing out there. And then once you start implementing that on a day-to-day, your business will become more innovative, you know, and you become better than your competition over time.
Indeed. Lastly, your input towards, of course, Namibia's ranking, just again, the Mr. Anoshike. How does this encourage a business person? And perhaps what more, furthermore, do you think the world needs to find within Namibia so that it can also improve and encourage business people outside to come and invest right here in our land of the brave?
Yeah, I think, you know, this basically just, solidifies, the fact that Namibia is seen globally as a competitive market, as a market which is open to investors, and is willing to basically open to trade with the world. So I think that really emphasizes that, and which means, you know, this is just the beginning, what it takes for us to attract those investors that we need in our country to really build industries, and also to a certain extent, internally, our business people, our entrepreneurs, do see Namibia as a favorable country to work in and such. So, but obviously we can do better, as I pointed out, and the reason I pointed out the fact that yes, we're first in market perception, which is a good thing. Namibia is seen globally as a peaceful country, a country where rule of law dominates, and even in Namibia, we feel that. We must work on improving our ease of doing business, as well as incentives for our entrepreneurs, to really operate in this industry, in this market, the entrepreneurs are able to create jobs and help build our economy.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Mr. Josiah.
Okay. All right. Thank you
very much. Oh, thank you.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USA stores? 4 kilograms real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only 199.99 Namibian dollars. 10 kilograms of Champion Super Maize meal, only 104.99 Namibian dollars. Wellington's tomato sauce, just 25.99 Namibian dollars. And pay 194.99 Namibian dollars for 1 liter Bonita Long Life milk. You save where good food costs less.
As Namibia positions itself as a competitive destination for investment and enterprise, the country's business attractiveness depends on more than regulations and incentives. Now, according to recent business environment assessments, Namibia's performance is evaluated across 3 core pillars. That is one, which I've mentioned before, the ease of operating a business, business incentives, and market perception. It is in the market perception category that Namibia ranks number one within Africa and also within Southern Africa. Now, with market perception increasingly viewed as a decisive factor for local and foreign businesses alike, the ease of operating a business pillar measures how efficiently companies can start, manage, and expand operations in Namibia. This includes business registration processes, regulatory clarity, contract enforcement, labor regulations, and the effectiveness of public institutions. Now, for Namibian businesses, a predictable and transparent regulatory environment reduces administrative costs and operational delays. Improvements in digital services and regulatory frameworks have helped ease some barriers, but stakeholders note that consistency and implementation remain crucial for supporting small and medium-sized enterprises, which form the backbone of the local economy. As for business incentives supporting investment and expansion, Namibia offers various business incentives aimed at stimulating investment, industrialization, and job creation. Now, this includes tax allowances, sector-specific incentives, export processing benefits, and support for priority industries such as renewable energy, mining, agriculture, and manufacturing. And with that, we maybe referring to more bigger companies than the local ones. Now, while these incentives are designed to attract both domestic and foreign investors, analysts caution that their impact depends on clarity, on accessibility, and long-term policy stability. For local businesses, especially startups and small medium enterprises, awareness and ease of access to these incentives remain key challenges. And even when they do actually have the information, the right information, they might not have the right documentation, which takes long and takes lots of money as well for them to get. Now, beyond policies and incentives, market perception, how Namibia is viewed by investors, trading partners, consumers, and the international community plays a critical role in shaping business outcomes. Market perception reflects confidence in political and economic stability, governance infrastructure, innovation, and ethical standards. Now, it doesn't quite surprise me much that we have ranked number one in this particular one, that is market perception, because Namibia political standpoint is quite stable, yes, and its economic stability, well, maybe we're getting there. Governance also is quite stable. Infrastructure and innovation, well, we did say that we have the best roads within Africa. We have quite a clean environment and ethical standards. We are quite also a peaceful country that then would then post us at that particular level. Now, at that particular number one level of market perception. Now, it is influenced by international rankings, media coverage, investor experience, and Namibia's overall country brand. For Namibian businesses operating in regional and global markets, a positive national image strengthens credibility, facilitates partnerships, and improves access to finance. Conversely, negative perceptions, whether linked to bureaucratic delays, policy uncertainty, or infrastructure constraints, can increase perceived risk and raise the cost of doing business. Economists note that investors often make initial decisions based on perception before reviewing formal data. A strong market reputation can attract capital and talent, while poor perception may dent opportunities even when incentives are available. Now, market perception also affects access to finance, as perceived risk influences interest rates and investor appetite. Export competitiveness with country reputation shaping consumer trust, talent attraction, particularly for skilled professionals considering regional mobility. So importantly, market perception acts as a multiplier, enhancing the benefits of good policies or undermining them if confidence is low. Next, Namibia seeks to grow its private sector and attract sustainable investment. Analysts argue that strengthening market perception should be treated as a strategic priority alongside regulatory reform and incentive design. Now, transparent governance, consistent policy implementation, and also not only consistent policy implementation, but rather also reflecting on policies, all policies that they were standing there already that needs to be reformed, and proactive communication of success stories are seen as essential steps in reinforcing confidence. For Namibian businesses, the message is clear. Success depends not only on operating conditions and incentives, but also on how the country and its enterprises are perceived in an increasingly competitive global marketplace. Of course, let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. This is On the Radar News Analysis. Stay tuned for more.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the Radar News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otula evitota njuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendife nawa nukumona oijewo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Special admission considerations under graduate applicants. UNAM invites eligible Namibian applicants to apply for special admission consideration for selected undergraduate degree programs for 2026. Now, this applies to applicants who narrowly missed standard admission requirements but met the specified point thresholds and subject criteria. Admission under this category is conditional, and students must meet set academic conditions by the end of the year to continue their studies. Special admission does not apply to professional or diploma programs. Details are available from the Office of the Registrar, that is the University of Namibia. And now for news beyond the borders of Namibia. But before we get to news beyond the border of Namibia, we do have interesting interview coming up later after we tell you about what's happening in terms of economic indicators. Now, the Namibian dollar today, one USD will get you 15.15 Namibian dollars, 0.91 cents. Or let me say one US dollar is equals to 15 Namibian dollars and 91 cents. One Swiss franc, on the other hand, is equals to 20 Namibian dollars and 72 cents. 1 euro is equals to 19 Namibian dollars and 0.03 cents. 1 pound sterling is equals to 21 Namibian dollars and 95 cents. And 1 United Arab Emirate dirham is equals to 4 Namibian dollars and 33 cents. 1 Botswana pula is equals to 1 Namibian dollar. 0.22 cents. Let's pause here now as we try and get a hold of our next guest. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijewo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, vera hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now we will be getting into conversation with Crystal Nassau from Velvicha University just shortly. They're very interesting news for us to share with us right here on the Reader News Analysis. In the meantime, make sure that you do head over to our WhatsApp channel. Have you subscribed to it yet? Please do send a text to 081-200-4144 so that you can be up to date with the news that is happening. Okay? That being said, let's now get hold of Crystal. Yes, Miss Crystal. A very good afternoon. It's a pleasure to have you in studio with us telephonically, of course.
Yes, it's a pleasure for me to be here.
I'm sure the people were anticipating because I kept telling them that we're getting hold of Velvicha. They have very good, interesting news for us today.
Yes, of course. We have our integrated orientation and first ever mini faculty and career exhibition happening right at our campus.
Imagine. First, before we get into the interview, what is the turnout of the people, of the students? How is the atmosphere where you are now?
We have a lot of students. So for this year in itself, we are opening our doors to about 1,200 new students. And for the city campus, of course, today we have over 300 students that are here for the orientation program, and more are still coming. And the atmosphere is definitely one of fun and one of expectation. Students are networking with the exhibitors right now. They are getting to know their peers. And it's really, really just a fun atmosphere to be in.
I can only imagine. Of course, tell us about this historic bus that is happening currently at the Velvicha University this week. And what makes this year's orientation so different from the others?
Well, Miss Happy, to be honest with you, this is definitely a landmark event for us. It's the first of its kind. Last year, during our orientation program, we incorporated a mini faculty fair, which is basically just exhibiting our own two faculties, the various schools, giving students some information about what the schools are offering. And this year, basically, we are moving beyond the basic registrations to actually host an inaugural mini faculty and career exhibition. So the career exhibition is an exhibition where we have different exhibitors exhibiting their information to the students, career information, handing out some fun gifts and information leaflets. And we are not just welcoming students, we are also empowering minds and shaping futures through our Achievers, Velvicha Achievers Private College also being on site, giving out information for students. And also our industry partners are also right here at our doorstep. And they will only be here for today, but the orientation program continues until tomorrow.
I was just about to ask, is this only open to Velvicha University? Because some of us are feeling closed out now.
Well, of course, Velvicha University students do get access, first of all. They get preference. However, if we still have students that want to join and want to find out more, of course, we have our faculties also exhibiting. You can come onto our main campus, which is at 39 Post Street Mall, in town in the Channel Life building on the M2 true balcony. And you can find out some more information about the different faculties that we have. We have the Faculty of Law, the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, and we also have a Faculty of Health Sciences where our flagship programs are, our nursing programs, so students can really come and find out more about what we have to offer.
Now, Ms. Crystal, you have mentioned some big names joining you. Who can students expect to see at this exhibition?
We have quite a few from the banking industry. So we have Standard Bank, and they came full swing with board games and a pool table, PlayStations, and Letsego, not to keep them behind. Letsego Bank are also there with their yellow and black, giving out a lot of promotional items and games. Then we also have Big Bank, the Big Red Bank. They are here handing out some financial literacy information and also just general career fair information. Then we also have Campus Connect, which is a campus magazine for all students currently in Namibia. And they are here helping students to subscribe to the online magazine. And we also have MyZone from the Namibia Media Holdings. And they are here as our media partner. And they are grabbing student stories like nobody's business with fun and games. They came with a big, big sound system. And the music, that's why I had to leave from there, because the music is so loud as we speak. And we also have student accommodation with the United Africa Group. They are here to offer information to students about student affordable student accommodation in the city center, which actually is very close to our campus, our city campus. So those are the institutions that I can think at this point in time that are currently joining us, and we are so thrilled to actually have them with us.
Interesting. Now, for a new student, university can, of course, be very feeling sort of like intimidating and trying to find their way. It's like almost like a one lost in a jungle. Now, how is this event making that transition easier for students?
Well, you know, the orientation program is a 2-day program, and we have designed this so that it is as engaging as possible. Now, earlier this morning, the students, the orientated students, were on campus, and they had different sessions, orientation information sessions, on the various programs, academics, student life, you know, how to settle in. Also, what are the student resources, such as our Buku programs that we have, Moodle, and all of that. And then now, of course, this is the time that we get to have fun. We first ended off the morning session with a nice campus tour, toured by our SRC, and they toured the students around, actually showed them around, and now is the time for fun and games here at the Mini Faculty and Career Expo. So where we have live music, as I mentioned earlier, interactive games, and a lot of giveaways, and of course, free food. Students love free food. So in a nutshell, I think that is a full 360-degree introduction to student life.
Nice. Now, which academic fields are being showcased at the Mini Faculty Exhibition?
Oh, yes. So we have our flagship our flagship faculty, which is the Faculty of Health Sciences, and they are exhibiting programs such as our foundation certificate in nursing, as well as our enrolled nursing program and the Bachelor of Nursing. Alternatively, also they have the diploma in pharmacy, which is selling out like hotcakes, and we just have a few spaces left in Walfish Bay at the moment. And we also have programs such as the diploma in environmental sciences that are on showcase, and a first of its kind, the master's in public health, is also launching today under the Faculty of Health. And then, of course, a new faculty that started last year is the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, where we have programs such as a diploma in legal studies, LLB, bachelor's degree in law. And then under our commerce subjects and programs, we actually have programs under project management, supply chain, and supply chain management. And of course, we have an education school as well under this faculty, where we have a Bachelor of Senior Secondary Education, that is also on showcase today, providing students with first-hand career information before they step into their first lecture.
Mm. Now, with over 1,200 students expected across the country, Ms. Crystal, where should they go to get involved?
Well, of course, for today at the Mini Faculty and Career Expo, it is at the main hub here at our city campus on the M2 floor, which is at 39 Post Street Mall, here in the Channel Life building in town. However, this spirit of orientation also extends
across
campuses countrywide.
I lost you there for a moment. Extends to other campuses.
Countrywide. So we have campuses in Otapi, in Balfish Bay, in Kombat, in, I'm so excited, Kurankuru, Katsima,
yeah,
is where we have campuses, Ongwendiva, not Grootfontein yet. And then Mururani, we have our campuses, and they are all experiencing the same vibe as today. So, yeah.
Interesting. And the orientation would probably run up until what time?
Today's program runs at 5 o'clock, and tomorrow's program starts again at 8 o'clock. And if students want to find out more details, they can actually visit our website at www.wu.edu.na, or a favorite, we just reached 50k followers on our Facebook page.
Interesting.
And our handle on our social media is WU Namibia, and you can get all our information, timely, accurate information, on our social media platforms and our website. And also, we would like to state that our 2026 application and registration have been extended until 28 February 2026. So that's 28 February 2026 to accommodate more students who want to be part of the only university where everyone is an achiever.
Mm.
And prospective students are also encouraged to apply using our website, www.wu.edu.na.
Currently, just repeat that for somebody who was listening, kind of like missed it. Application has been extended to until when?
Until the 28th of February 2026.
And
students can still apply to all our programs, and they do so by applying online at www.wu.edu.na.
Okay, and this is for all faculties, right?
This is for all faculties, yes.
Okay. Ms. Crystal, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis. And we sure hope that Velvicher University have a moment of their time on this particular 2 days of orientation.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Happy. Thank you to the listeners at Eagle FM. And we can't wait to welcome all the prospective students, Namibian students, at our campuses across the country. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. And that was Ms. Crystal Nassau, the Director of Corporate Engagement and International Relations at the Velvicher University. And for now, let's now pause here shortly for a short commercial break, and we're back with news beyond the borders of Namibia. Stay tuned.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka oku kwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo, otu kwetira o special ange tashake ngejefa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heari, nola natu heari bali no heari. Ile kumberewa, nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Welcome back, and now for news beyond the borders of Namibia. Let's start off in South Africa, as the Reserve Bank of South Africa has announced interest rates on Thursday.
The ECB committee will be announcing its first decision of the year, with economists anticipating it to be a tough call, as conditions seem favorable for a cut, but inflation remains above the new target of 3%. While some expect a cut, others say rates will likely remain unchanged at 6.75%, meaning the prime lending rate will stay at 10.25%.
South Africa is expected to see a close decision on interest rates this week, either a 25 basis point cut or the interest rates being left unchanged. Inflation is well removed from the current target at the moment of 3%, with the latest outcome at 3.5%, or actually just above that 3.6 for the month before at 3.5, and in fact coalescing around that point for a few months now. Inflation is not back at target, and the Reserve Bank could choose caution and wait until inflation becomes entrenched at the 3% mark before cutting again. The South African economy shown good growth last year as a consequence of the agricultural sector, but showing resilience overall. We continue to expect the Reserve Bank may on balance not cut interest rates, but as we indicate, it's a very close call.
A Nedbank senior economist shares the same view.
The environment is quite favorable right now for another interest rate cut, but I doubt if the Reserve Bank is going to move very fast. It's all about whether the rand is going to settle where it is right now, or we're going to see a bit of a reversal of some of these very strong gains. Remember that it's all at the moment about a weak US dollar, which is being talked down even by President Donald Trump. We're seeing it boosting gold, and the rand is just in this sweet spot. But how long will it last? And the Reserve Bank will be watching that quite closely. The Reserve Bank, as we do in the country, prefers a stable currency, so forecasting can be a little easier. So, I believe that the Reserve Bank will be a little cautious and maybe wait until it has settled a bit.
Independent economist Elise Kruger believes there is a chance of a cut given the rand's strength against the dollar and other favorable economic conditions.
I do think the extent of the rand's strength that we've seen since the November MPC meeting will have an important impact on the decision. So at the time of the November meeting, the rand was still trading at about 17 rand 25 to the dollar. And, we all know we're now below 16 rand, so that's a notable appreciation since the previous meeting. That will filter into the Reserve Bank's own inflation forecast, for 2026 and beyond. And I do think that we will see a downward revision to the SALP's own CPI forecast as well. Looking ahead, we are looking at petrol price declines that we've had now in January. We're expecting another fairly substantial one in Feb. So if you look at the forecast curve, in my view, as headline CPI will be very close to 3% as soon as February this year.
Annual consumer price inflation was 3.6% in December, up from 3.5% in November. At its last meeting, the MPC said it remained on track to deliver 3% inflation over the medium term, amongst others as a result of a stronger rand and lower oil price assumptions. Gloria Sefako Musi, SABC News, Johannesburg.
Let's now switch over to Zambia. And Zambia is raising awareness on childhood eye cancer.
A childhood eye cancer that's quite common here in Zambia and can be deadly if ignored. Today, we take a closer look at retinoblastoma and why early detection makes a difference.
The condition can affect any child, and in many cases, it develops without any family history. Most children who develop retinoblastoma are infants and toddlers, making early monitoring extremely important.
Retinoblastoma is usually diagnosed in younger children, usually from the ages of about 1 to 5. So that age range are the most prevalent cases that have been reported. Yes, so from children, ideally from the age of about 13 months, and increasing with age, with more cases seen at about 2 to 3 years and up to the age of 5.
Early signs are often subtle. Parents are encouraged to look out for an unusual white reflection in the eye, crossed eyes, persistent redness, or swelling. Any change in a child's eye appearance or behavior should be checked by a professional.
It's very important to be on the outlook, especially when dealing with children and infants who are quite younger age, when they present with any complaints related to the eye. So when in specific, when we are talking about retinoblastoma, we should be on the outlook. If a child presents maybe with the complaint of poor vision, or if the parent or caregiver, they see something in the eye, like a whitish lesion or an opacity that is affecting the pupil, or any other symptom that is related to the eye, we should be on the outlook, especially when it is of a prolonged duration, lasting for more than a few days.
In Zambia, doctors say retinoblastoma is quite common, and many cases arrive at health facilities when the cancer is already advanced. Late diagnosis reduces the chances of saving the eye and limits treatment options. Diagnosis involves a detailed eye examination supported by imaging tests. Treatment ranges from chemotherapy and laser therapy to surgery, depending on how advanced the tumor is. With early detection, outcomes are significantly better.
When talking about retinoblastoma, early warning signs are important when we come to the diagnosis, like we had earlier alluded to. When you notice these changes and you go to your healthcare practitioner or provider, they'll be able to examine your child. Yeah. So the first key element on the diagnosis is physical examination. The eye will be properly assessed and examined by specialists, sometimes under anesthesia, to critically look at the details of the eye. So physical examination under anesthesia, and also added to that, we can do special imaging investigations.
Health experts are urging parents to prioritize routine eye checks for their children and seek medical help early. Retinoblastoma is treatable, and early detection can save vision and save lives. Leila Rashida.
Meanwhile, relief efforts continue in Mozambique as floodwaters recede.
The scale of the flooding in southern Mozambique's Manhika district has forced thousands to flee their homes for safety. The disaster has wreaked havoc on communities, leaving roads impassable and neighborhoods submerged. Residents of flood-stricken Jocina Island described enduring desperate conditions before help arrived.
We suffered a lot in Jocina Island when we were hit by floodwaters. We were helped by a nearby Kuten school when water got in our houses. All of us from the area went to the school. As we were standing in the classrooms, the water invaded the place. So the local teacher told us to climb on top of the desks where we sat from night to morning. There was no way to sleep in the water. We stayed for 3 days in the water and we left on the fourth day.
The group was rescued on the fourth day by helicopters, which flew them to safety. Rescued residents have been receiving food and shelter, and local volunteers have also been mobilized to assist stranded traders and boat operators.
The items we are loading here are to help the traders. As conductors of the boats, we saw they were suffering in this place. They can't cross to the other side, so we are helping them. But we are at the end of this duty because the water is receding.
On Tuesday, Mozambican President Daniel Chapo said the water levels were receding in some of the worst affected districts, but the situation remained critical. According to official data, the floods triggered by weeks of intense rainfall have affected more than 600,000 people across southern and central Mozambique. Devin Bidi, CGTN.
Meanwhile, gunfire explosions rock Niger's capital.
Tell us more about the gunfire and explosions near the airport and any casualties or damages from the same that you've been hearing.
Okay, let's say that a few minutes after midnight, we heard a lot of gunshots, explosions, and we noticed that the gunshots and explosions came from the airport, the side of the airport. So when we asked to some people what was happening, they told us that it may be a terrorist attack against the airport, because you should know that some days before this attack, these events, we had information from officials something saying that the airport may be attacked by terrorists. So there is a kind of enforcement of security forces around the airport, but it seems that despite the fact that we have a lot of security forces near the airport, the terrorists decided that they would attack, and they attacked in the night, a few minutes after midnight.
Right. As yet, we still don't know who is responsible for this attack. But Amadou, are we hearing anything from the authorities? What are they saying about this?
We do not have any official statement saying what happened yesterday. We are still waiting. Maybe we'll have information in the afternoon, maybe, or before the night. We have a statement saying what happened, but we do not have any information about the casualty, and we do not know who is the author of the attack. We know that this kind of attack happened in Bamako last year. The airport of Bamako was attacked, and let's say Al Qaeda claimed to be the author of the attack. We are supposing that maybe Al Qaeda tried to do the same attack on the airport of international airport of Niamey, because you know that the airport is supposed to be the most, let's say, the high level of security around airports in Africa or in every country. So by attacking the airport, they are trying to show to people that they can attack any kind of target in the city, no matter if we have security forces or not.
Right, and finally, you did mention that this attack began after midnight there. What can you tell us about the situation in the capital right now?
Right now, everything is quiet. We say that, the gunshot stops 3 hours before after the beginning. And now we can say that security forces are under alert, and people are afraid, because the fact that the first time the capital is being attacked by terrorists, people are afraid that maybe another attack will happen in the capital, in the middle of the capital, maybe against an hotel or something like that. As you know that in Burkina Faso and in Mali, this kind of attacks against hotels happened some years ago. So people are afraid that maybe after the airport, maybe another target will be in the capital or somewhere else. And there is a lot of fear among people.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump warns Iran of massive armada.
The build-up of the U.S. military presence in the Middle East has been matched by an explicit threat from President Trump. Not over the deadly crackdown this month by the regime against its own people, but because of its nuclear program. Mr. Trump posted on social media that a massive armada is heading to Iran, calling on it to negotiate a fair deal with no nuclear weapons and saying that time is running out. Iran's foreign minister responded by saying the country's armed forces were ready with their fingers on the trigger. In a moment, we'll get the thoughts of our North America editor in Washington. But first, here's our diplomatic correspondent, Caroline Hawley.
Filmed surreptitiously inside the emergency room of a hospital in Tehran, raw grief. They killed my brother, the woman screams. We still don't know the exact toll, but Iranians who witnessed what happened believe tens of thousands are dead, many more seriously injured.
The scale is truly shocking, and it's not just a turning point in the history of the Iranian people. I would say in contemporary history, it qualifies as one of the worst mass killings. It is absolutely essential, to the extent possible, to get at the truth, to collect the evidence.
As Washington weighs up what to do next, one of the American military's largest aircraft carriers, with up to 50 fighter jets on board, has arrived in the region. The U.S. has bases around the Middle East, which have now been significantly reinforced. And this morning, a new warning from President Trump. A massive armada is heading to Iran, he said. Hopefully, Iran will quickly come to the table and negotiate, warning that if it doesn't, the next attack on Iran will be far worse. Last June, U.S. bombers joined Israel's attack on the country, hitting three sites central to its long-standing nuclear program. Mr. Trump said Iran could have no nuclear weapons. Iran's mission at the UN replied, saying it was ready for dialogue, but then, in Trump-style capitals, that if pushed, it would respond like never before. But the U.S. administration believes the Iranian regime is now weaker than ever.
So the core challenges, the protests may have ebbed, but they will spark up again in the future, because this regime, unless they are willing to change and or leave, have no way of addressing the legitimate and consistent complaints of the people of Iran who deserve better.
The protests earlier this month took place in every corner of the country, as did the brutal suppression, from Tehran to the holy city of Mashhad to Amul, close to the Caspian Sea. I've been sent these images from a woman who was there.
And now we've come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dingi program brought to you by Loise Shimi. And from Indafa, happy usual, it is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.